Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend, my partner in sports radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, my voice is a little raspy this morning. This is like mid-season coaching voice. So I'm gonna try to be a pro and hope the coffee soothes
our very own Doc Rivers hosting the show.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Yeah, I was trying to think of my all-time like raspy voice coach guys. Doc Rivers, who else we got? Who else is going on that Rushmore?
Tom Thibodeau. I feel like NBA Tibbs. Coaches and basketball coaches in general, because they, since
it's every night,
because they, yeah, well, because and they can actually yell onto the court, whereas like football right. coaches are talking into mics and stuff, so they often get done and don't sound quite as raspy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yeah,
going old school a little bit.
Great voice guy. Absolutely. We got one more
to round up the Rushmore.
Maybe a football guy. I'm trying to think.
Let's see. Yeah, who was a real screamer? Oh, Herm Edwards.
Herm. Yeah. Herm was all heart, man. He wore his heart on his sleeve. And yeah, by midseason, that voice would be a bit of a deal, dude. It would be a mess.
And never once did he back down. He's like, everything on this vehicle is sputtering and I'm pedal to the metal regardless.
Exactly. I believe. No one else does, but I believe. Dude, I miss him. I miss Denny Green. I was reflecting on Denny Green recently and how he provided like some really stellar press conference moments over the years. Like, they are who we thought we were, who we thought they were. Like, I use that in day-to-day life, and I always tip the cap to Denny Green when I use it. I miss the NFL having personalities. You know, I miss one coach being different from another, which is a thing that we'll get into, Pipe, right after this quick break.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, we're back. We're going to talk some, is the NFL good in general this season? And we're going to play a little game called Are They Good? So we're going to go team by team here in a minute. But kind of on a high level, Pipe, how much are you enjoying the NFL this year? Like, is it a good product? Where are you at on that?
No, it's not a good product. Like, we've reached the point where it's kind of shocking when there's a really good game.
Yeah.
So it is utterly astounding to me that like the league across the board is mediocre. Like, teams that were supposed to be good, have good offensive products, have been bad.
Yeah.
Like, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are the only thing we can count on for like a good offensive product. And even the Bills have laid a couple eggs.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know if it's because defense has gotten ahead of offense or they took away some of the preseason or what it is.
Yeah.
But it's a bad product.
In general, the young quarterbacks are garbage, right? So that super exciting class of quarterbacks that was supposed to re-energize the league, they've been bad. Justin Fields is terrible. He can't hit a wide open receiver in the flat.
He looked like a professional quarterback against the Vikings, which might say more about the Vikings. Like, he didn't look good, but he looked like he belongs on an NFL field.
So
that was a thing that happened.
Quarterbacking is down all across the league, which is kind of a fascinating thing. And when we play, are they actually good? We'll get into some of that, you know, with the quarterback situations that 5 weeks ago, I think people felt really good about. You know, I mean, if you're a Bears fan, there was kind of nothing to feel good about, but at least you felt like we've got Fields.
Yeah.
And we could put the rest around it. But now, you know, 5 weeks in, that looks bad. I'm still not sure if Zach Wilson is any good. Trey Lance is, you know, down for the season, but it didn't look good before he went down.
Tua was showing flashes, and then, yeah, you know, he's somewhere between out for a while and his career is over.
Yeah. You know, it is in the balance in that way. And yeah, you're kind of looking at it going, gosh, how many of these teams, what percentage of these teams actually have good quarterback situations? And it's probably less than a third. You know, you've got Geno Smith playing really good football this season, which no one saw coming.
Well, and the weirdest thing for me, I mean, I'm probably overly, you know, rubber stamped this, but my loathing for Kirk Cousins is well known, yeah, as the Vikings quarterback.
Yeah.
Things are so bad that I'm like, maybe we're actually in a decent spot.
Yeah. Well, and he's playing.
He actually looks solid.
Yeah. He looks solid by nature of how bad everyone else looks, I think. Because he hasn't been that great. Right.
No, but, he hasn't.
You know, not being that great is kind of his thing. You know, and if everything else is bad, and if the pieces around him are decent, then that might be enough. So I want to talk about an aspect of the product being bad. And it's something I've noticed over the last few years, and it bothers me. And with the proliferation in gambling, I can't help but think about it. The officials are way too big a part of these games. Way too prominent. The fact that we know their names, the fact that we know, oh, it's Jerome Boger, you know, or, you know, oh, it's Land Clark. Like, we know these guys' names. We know how they call games. We know what they call. The roughing the passer penalties this last weekend were just unconscionably egregious, right? So these would be routine tackles in decades past. Like, they wouldn't even make a highlight film. Like Grady Jarrett's sack on Tom Brady, which Brady described as like a long unwanted hug. Like, that wouldn't have even made a highlight tape a decade and a half ago, and he's getting flagged for it. The Chris Jones strip sack of Derek Carr looked like you could see Jones thinking about it. Like, he was trying not to go anywhere near Derek Carr's head, and he succeeded, and he still got a roughing the passer penalty. It's out of control pipe. It's egregious. The NFL is trying to thread this PR needle of taking a game that's unspeakably violent and trying to make it sanitized and palatable to a fan base that largely doesn't care. Like, I don't think Joe Public on a Sunday afternoon on his couch is like especially concerned with how dangerous the game is. Nor do I think the players are especially concerned. It's out of control. The refs are way too big a part of it. Your thoughts?
Well, in terms of the refs being way too big of a part of it, 100%. I think the people who watch football either want violence or accept it.
Sure.
Like, we grew up on, like, I don't even remember what the show, like, there was basically like big hit highlight reels on ESPN and stuff where you'd see like guys, you'd think, did his head come off or was that just his helmet? Like, what just happened here?
Dude, it's the VHS tapes, Crunch Course, right? We used to get those in the mail, Crunch Time.
All of that.
Yeah.
And so that's accepted. The audience is basically like, and I'm not saying we should like unfetter all the rules. Like, I do think that there's a, like, late hits and spearing and I like the horse collar tackle, the stuff that's unnecessary.
Sure.
But also, the quarterback is a football player.
Right.
Like, he put on pads too. If you don't want the quarterback to get hit, don't put him in pads.
Right.
And be like, don't touch him.
Yeah.
Or he's a football player, drill him within the rules of the game.
Right.
The other thing that I am so sick of, and the TV broadcast, they have the rules experts.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to whatever suited, boring, monotone guys
right.
is in New Jersey watching these games on a bank of screens
right.
and have him interpret this rule. Once you get into rule interpretation, this isn't football.
Right.
This is jurisprudence.
Yeah.
And nobody gives a crap.
Making a star out of, like, Gene Steratore. So here's what's weird to me. It seems to be a thing that the league is, like, leaning into, right? So even having the rules expert on the broadcast and saying, we're platforming Gene Steratore, we're making a star out of this moment where we cut to New Jersey and he gives his, you know, 2 minutes of commentary on a call. It's strange. Like, it's a strange PR pivot to me. And again, maybe it's part of this whole kind of umbrella regime of trying to sanitize a super chaotic, violent thing. But the whole thing is landing kind of weird to me. And if I was a gambler, which, you know, which I'm not, but if I was one, I would lose my mind at some of these calls, right? I would go insane if I had, you know, a certain team to cover the spread, and then, you know, one of these egregious calls happens and it tilts the outcome of the game for me. I don't know how people deal with it. I would not deal well with it. So I think that makes for a bad product. Pipe, let's go team by team here. And we're not going to go through all of them, but I just want to...
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I want to throw some teams out, and I want to ask you if you think they're actually good or not, and why or why not. Let's do the Cowboys. Are they actually good?
They are actually talented.
Okay.
The thing that will hold them back, they are not going to make a deep playoff run because their coach is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL passed him, although, who knows, maybe this is coming full circle. I was going to say the NFL passed him by, but now it seems like the NFL has passed the NFL by. So,
yeah.
I think their defense is really good.
Yeah.
Very talented. I think their offense has some pieces, but also, like, I don't think they're good. I think they're talented, and I think their defense can do some things.
So is this
lack of a better term?
Is this a Ewing theory situation where you take the ostensible star out of the lineup, and, you know, Kellen Moore has had to kind of coach around it, but I actually think it's made the offense better. I think they're calling a better game offensively. They're staying out of the way. The defense is winning games, but the offense is doing just enough. I actually think they're kind of a fun watch without Dak Prescott. It's weird. And sometimes when, from a coaching standpoint, when you have a star, and all this happens on a subconscious level, you're kind of going, Dak will make a play. You want to put it in his hands maybe more than you should. Maybe they should be calling Cooper Rush type games for Dak Prescott, which sounds, you know, heretical, but it sure looks good now. I think they're actually good, and I'm kind of enjoying it, even though I don't love the Cowboys thing, and I don't love the Jerry Jones thing, and I don't necessarily even love it when they're good.
See, here's the problem with the Cowboys. Well, 2 years ago, I would have said nobody named Cooper will be an NFL star.
Yeah.
And then Cooper Kupp proved me wrong, so Cooper Rush might have a future in this league.
Yeah.
The other thing is their diehard dedication to Zeke Elliott is going to tank them.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Like, Tony Pollard is a better NFL player. That doesn't mean Tony Pollard can have Zeke's workload.
Yeah,
but he's a better playmaker right now.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb is the best player on that offense right now.
Yeah,
and Zeke is still touching the ball 20 times a game, and he's a functional NFL player who is not a star, but Jerry Jones loves him. That's going to be their Achilles heel, because there's going to be just too many plays a game where they get 3 yards from him instead of 6 yards from Pollard, or 12 yards from Lamb, or actually hit a pass to Michael Gallup, or whatever it is, because they're just shackled to him. And I think that's going to hurt him.
Dude, can we do 30 seconds on the name Cooper? Like, how did that
can
get,
we please?
How did it become popular? Like, there was no, sort of pop cultural icon named Cooper, after whom all of these parents were naming their kids Cooper in 2001 or whatever. Like, how did we get here with that? Like, to me, it just sounds kind of goofy.
Yeah, it was like one of the original, let's use the last name as a first name. Like, one of my childhood friends, middle school, was named Sean Cooper.
Right.
And, like, Sean Cooper, solid name. Like, Sean Cooper sounds like he could play sports.
Yeah.
Cooper Sean doesn't. Yeah. You know, no, Cooper Smith, no. Cooper. Yeah. And all of us. So, yeah, there was like this, maybe it was Anderson Cooper, and people were like, wait, you can just flip-flop this name whatever way you want. It's all the last names.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels like the first of these sort of revelation that like names can go in any order, so we can just throw last names first, and off we go.
Yeah, it's an odd American naming trend that we're seeing kind of proliferate amongst NFL white guy populations now, and it's a strange deal for sure. All right, Pipe, the Giants at 4-1, are they good? I'm saying no on the Giants. I can't get there. I've got to think. Here's the thing. I doff the cap to Brian Daboll and what he's doing with the offense. I've actually watched a lot of their games because I'm curious. Their offensive line is pretty competent. Like, Evan Neal is getting better. Their left tackle from a couple of drafts ago is really playing well. They're running the ball a ton with Saquon. He's finally healthy. That's great. You know, they're rolling out these huge, like, three tight end sets and playing with one receiver. I kind of like it, but I think defenses are going to catch up. And if they make it a drop back game and put the ball in Daniel Jones' hands in any kind of a significant way, they're screwed. Your thoughts on the Giants quickly.
Pretty much total agreement with you. I think Daboll he's doing a phenomenal job with what they have, and what they have is not good enough. Daniel Jones is not a good quarterback, and they have no wide receivers to speak of. Yeah. And in the NFL today, you can't win long term without those things, which means they're a year or two away of roster building away from probably being, you know, competing with the Eagles in that division.
Yeah.
But that being said, Daboll's doing a great job with the limited stuff they have. And I will say, it is great to see Saquon Barkley being a star again, because he's really fun to watch.
Yeah, he's a really, really fun watch. I still hate the Eagles, even though they're the Super Bowl champions, ostensibly, this year. Everyone has crowned the Eagles.
I don't think they're the Super Bowl champions. I think their limitations, there are still limitations on their offense. If their offensive line stays healthy, that will go a long way. But I will say, my running back who throws comment on Jalen Hurts from our season preview may turn out to be wrong.
Yeah.
He seems to have taken a big step.
Yeah, he looks good.
In terms of being a competent thrower on top of being a really good runner.
And you know what? To that point, like, you love to see a guy get better.
Yes.
It's never a bad thing when a guy gets better, finds another aspect to his game. It's one of the more delightful things about sports. Quickly on the Commanders, how has Ron Rivera not been fired? Kind of in the last 10 years, like, I feel like all he's done is be mediocre. And
because their owner is hiding on a yacht so that he doesn't get brought to trial for whatever his most recent wrongdoings are.
That is true.
You know, it is a heinously dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah.
You know, amusing from a distance, but also like, oh, this is so bad kind of way.
Yeah. And the narrative is always, oh, Rivera is such a great man. You know, he's such a good dude. And it's like, if I was a part of that fan base, I would be not happy. All right. NFC West. I think these teams are all bad. I think the Niners have the greatest, like, they're going to figure it out upside. I do trust what Shanahan in general tries to do with his offenses. And I do like the fact that you can, like, kind of move the parts in and out and it still works. The Rams are broken. They have Cooper Kupp and nothing else is working.
So question about the Rams. Like, so last year they were starting line to finish line, one of the best teams in the NFL, obviously finished as the best team in the NFL. It didn't seem like they lost that much in the offseason, because Odell Beckham last year was a midseason pickup who then, you know, blew out his knee. in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They did lose Andrew Whitworth. That's a big deal.
Robert Woods.
Maybe that's their problem.
Yeah, Woods was the consummate number two for them. Beckham
Woods was out for most. I mean, Beckham stepped in and replaced him, so their number two went from like competent to maybe slightly better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? Like, but they suck this year. Like, they can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. I mean, other than force feeding Cooper Kupp, they can't. And Tyler Higbee, who is their, you know, he is their number two.
Their ostensible number two. Yeah. They lost the other tight end, Everett, who made a lot of plays for them last year.
Yeah.
I just think the offense was more diversified last year by nature of a lot of the things that you mentioned. And I really do think losing Whitworth was the only, like, kind of plus column player on their offensive line. Everybody else was sort of middling to bad. And they've had injuries this year, even amongst those guys. They've got a bottom third offensive line, and it's showing, right? So Stafford drops back. He only has eyes for Cooper Kupp because he really doesn't have time to like read the rest of the field. The running game just can't get out of the starting blocks, right? Like, you watch a Rams game and guys are getting lit up in the backfield. You know, there's nowhere to run. They abandon it too early. You know, it's just kind of a mess. And I do think McVay is smart enough to figure something out, but it's, My thought on the Rams is that it's going to look a lot different in week 10 than it looks right now. I don't know if it'll be better, but it's going to look different. And it's kind of an interesting coaching moment when you have to tear it all down and kind of rebuild it halfway through, which the Giants have done quickly. You know, I think Daboll pretty quickly realized, I can't run a real NFL offense with Daniel Jones as my quarterback, so we're just going to do what we can do. And it's working for now. They might look a lot different in week 10 after defenses have caught up. But
I think they'll look bad.
Yeah, I think they'll look bad. I think the Rams could look good if they figure something else out. The Cardinals are bad. Kyler's terrible. Like, Kyler Murray is bad. And
he's looking bad. Their offensive line's not great, right, and they don't have any decent wide receivers. Like, and I think Kyler will look so much better once DeAndre Hopkins gets back.
I agree.
In, what, 2 weeks from when we're recording this?
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah.
But again, like, I think Kyler is going to be, he's one of those, like, fantasy star, doesn't scare people on the field quarterbacks. Totally. I don't know that he'll ever figure it out at this point. Like, he just, I don't know that he has it in him to just be a steady quarterback.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a career comp for him, and I can't do it. Like, a guy with, like, crazy physical tools, some physical limitations, the worst body language of all time, who had, like, a decent career. I can't think of who that would be.
The closest I can, I mean, there's a lot more basketball comps than there are football.
Yeah.
Because quarterback is the position where, like, you have to have both the physical ability and the mental fortitude. And if you are lacking one, you're just not that good.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of those, like, he's sort of Derek Coleman-y, you know, or that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
You know,
no, you're
well,
right.
Beasley didn't have a good career and he smoked too much weed, but,
but Derek Coleman, I think, is the ceiling of what Kyler Murray could be. Like, occasionally you go to a cards game and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's awesome. Like, Derek Coleman a few times a year would, you know,
go like 40-16.
Yeah, he'd go
six
nuts.
Assists and,
and you're like, oh my gosh, I saw a good Derek Coleman game. This is great. But, like, the rest of the time he's underwhelming at best, you know, and I think that's what they have in Kyler. Briefly on the Seahawks, I just think they're a fun watch. They're frisky. The Geno Smith thing is fascinating. They're better than people thought they would be. They're 2-3. I mean, they're not going anywhere, but that whole division stinks, so they could be going somewhere.
Pete Carroll has a sort of new lease on coaching life because he's like, nobody's a star. So we just get to, like, be energetic and run this thing and whatever instead of having to deal with crazy Russ Wilson.
Yeah, they're like a frisky college team. They're like Syracuse, you know? They're not supposed to be beating people, but they're kind of hanging around. It's fun.
The thing is, they, like, they set themselves up to rebuild the team because, you know, they made the Russ draft, which means they were supposed to be bad and get a good high pick, and then they got Denver's picks. Now maybe Denver's pick will be like top three overall at this point, but
yeah,
but they're too good in a bad division. Like they might win seven games, which means they're going to have like the eighth pick, which means they miss out on one of the top quarterbacks instead of having the third pick because they were that, which is as bad as everybody expected them to be.
Yeah, exactly. Quickly on the NFC North, I don't think the Vikings are good. I think that we underestimated how much the rest of the division would stink. The Lions can't stop anybody. They're terrible defensively. The Bears are terrible in all aspects of the game. Green Bay, I think that
we did not underestimate. We knew the Bears were going to be awful.
Yeah, we knew the Bears were going to be awful. I thought the Lions were going to be frisky, but they're bad.
I think the Lions right now, last week being an exception, for like the first 4 weeks of the season, they were number one in offense and last in defense.
Yeah, they're like a Big 12 team. You know, they can put up points, and their offense is truly fun to watch, especially when DeAndre Swift is healthy. That offensive line is really good. They can run the ball against almost anybody. Goff has been the best version of Goff, which has kind of been fun to see. You know, they're a fun watch offensively, but they're nearly unwatchable defensively. They're getting pushed all over the field. They can't stop anybody. It's bad.
Yeah, here's what I will say about the Vikings. Like, obviously, I'm a bit of a homer. Yeah. So, you know, take this how you will.
Yep.
But I think the Vikings have surprised me by winning a bunch of close games, which is a thing they were terrible at last year. And then they still don't look like they have figured out O'Connell's offense.
Yeah.
That's a good sign when you're 4-1 at the time of this recording and are still leaving all sorts of plays on the field.
Yeah.
Because it's always the case when you institute a new offense, like it takes a while to figure it out. Like I think post bye week, second half of the season, you're going to see them hit some plays that they're missing right now, missing some throws, missing some, you know, the cohesion of the offensive line. So are they good? No, because their defense is mediocre at best, probably lower third of the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their offense will, in the second half of the year, be a top 5-7 offense overall for that stretch.
Yeah.
I think they'll figure that out, which means that they'll probably win the division at this point because the Packers are genuinely bad. They don't have any, like, they are just not scary to anybody.
Right. Right. Let's just say one thing briefly about the NFC South. I have trouble caring about the NFC South at all. it's the one division that if an NFC South game is on, I just kind of have trouble with it. I don't really care. I think the Brady thing is sad. Like, you never want to see anyone's marriage fall apart, especially over football. Like, that team just has the stench of sadness on them this year. And it's a bummer. I'm looking at this list of teams in the NFC pipe. Kirk Cousins might be the best quarterback in the NFC, like Jalen Hurts notwithstanding. That makes for a bad product, and it informs a lot of why the NFL is not fun this year. Your thoughts?
I mean, I don't think you're wrong right now. I do think Jalen Hurts has been the best quarterback in the NFC through this whatever first third of the season pretty easily. I also think the second half of the season, we're going to see, I think Tampa will, Brady showed it the last couple weeks. Like, he's still got it.
Yeah.
He's, you know, and if they're healthy, he's going to look good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rams will figure it out. Like, they're going to rearrange their offense and figure out how to, you know, get Stafford completing 25 out of 38 passes for 270 yards and two touchdowns every game.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to look better. But other than that, there's not a lot of quarterback talent in the NFC. Like, maybe Dak comes back and looks good after injury, but then again, he's always injured, so who knows? But yeah, it's a bad quarterback conference.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I am here for, though. And this is just a narrative thing that I kind of enjoy. Quarterback controversies. Like, who knew that Cooper Rush would, like, push Dak Prescott and that there would be even the rumbling of that? We've got one in New England with Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones. Zappe has looked kind of competent, kind of frisky. Like you saw why he burned, you know, 1AA college football to the ground at, I guess, Western Kentucky is not 1AA. They're the real thing, just in a small conference.
Like whatever, Big Sky Conference, yeah, or whatever
Big Sky
it is.
Conference or whatever. But
how long until the Panthers offer like a fourth round pick for Cooper Rush, or, you know, a fifth round pick for Bailey Zappi, and like collect another quarterback to add to their stable of guys who don't deserve to start?
It's a great question. And like the Baker Mayfield thing, I was bullish on him, and maybe I'm just a sucker for like quarterback reclamation projects. I really wanted to see that work out. I think I am a sucker for that, like 100%. But I wanted to see it work out. I wanted to see him kind of rehab his career and have a good second act. But it's not looking hopeful in that regard.
Well, I think Baker Mayfield, I mean, we all knew I think most people knew he wasn't that great. But what we've seen is if he's in one of those like everything scripted timing systems, you know, the Stefanski, Shanahan, whatever system, like he can run that offense. Yeah. He had also pre-shoulder injury, he was a very different player than he is now.
Yeah.
But I mean, Matt Rhule is just a bad coach.
Yeah.
And that certainly isn't helping anything there. Who was the offensive coordinator for Matt Rhule in his first season there when Teddy Bridgewater turned Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and Chris, like it just turned him into a, like statistically a force on offense?
Dude, I could be wrong here, but I want to say it was Joe Brady. Am I in the ballpark with that one?
That sounds right. Yeah. Came from LSU.
He came from LSU, right? And he kind of engineered the Joe Burrow sort of magical season at LSU.
And then they fired him after 1 year where, like, Teddy Bridgewater, consummate, like, borderline starter backup, looked good.
Exactly.
Put up numbers all over the place. And then they've been progressively more and more terrible since then.
Yeah. No, it's a real head scratcher. I'll admit I haven't watched a ton of Carolina. It's just hard to do it.
What? Why?
I know, crazy.
I don't understand.
Like even me with no life, like I still have standards. But Pipe, let's zip through the AFC. We'll go quicker on these. Were you out on the Jets? This will maybe be the only AFC East team we talk about, although I'll have to talk about New England first.
I mean, I will admit I've watched none of their games. I mean, I've watched some clips here and there. Yeah. I think they've done a good job roster building around Zach Wilson, and they will be as good as Zach Wilson is or is not, and TBD.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
two-headed monster at running back. It's fun. Yeah. Breece Hall, Michael Carter, they're different.
Deep receiving core.
Yeah, deep receiving core. Adequate at tight end. Offensive line wise, they've had all these injuries, but they've kind of done the Giants thing of just figuring it out. And I think they realized they could run the ball with power, and they've been doing some of that. You know, their play caller, if I'm not mistaken, comes from the Shanahan tree. You can see elements of that starting to work now, and the play action game starting to pop now. They could be frisky. I'm kind of enjoying the Jets thing. They're not a bad team to watch.
I'm a little worried that they have their own version of Kyler Murray minus the running.
Yeah. I think
kind of a great plays can't play in structure. I mean, he's so young and is so inexperienced. That's an utterly unfair thing to say.
Yeah.
But I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. I think if you're a Zach Wilson apologist, you're withholding judgment for now. And you're talking about things like sample size and you're comparing him to guys who he'll never be. But I feel a little more bullish on Zach Wilson than I do on Kyler at this point. Patriots, all I want to say about the Pats is that defense is good, dude. They've only given up 98 points. If they can figure out even a semblance of an offense, they return to being competitive in that division. Competitive enough to beat Buffalo, probably not, but competitive. AFC West. Everybody's disappointing except the Chiefs. This was supposed to be the NFL's sort of, you know, luxury car division. This was going to be like the supercar of the NFL. Everybody stinks except the Chiefs. I'm not a Chargers guy. I've never been a Chargers guy. I don't believe in Staley. They shoot themselves in the foot too often.
I think their biggest issue, well, I mean, their defense has been worse than anticipated because they made a bunch of big additions and whatever. Mm-hmm. They're always injury bitten. Like, nobody is more snake bit than the Chargers. And their offensive coordinator's an idiot. Like,
right.
Cut Justin Herbert. Like, he should be Josh Allen-ing out there. And instead, absolutely. he's, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo-ing.
Yeah, he's Jimmy. He's Joe Flacco-ing, right? Yeah. And he has Flacco-esque size in that he's giant and he has a huge arm, but he could also run. Like,
but he's mobile and he makes great reads and he throws the best deep ball statistically, at least he did as a rookie, which is wild, in the game. And I know they've had some injuries at their wide receiver position, but still, like, let the man cook. Like, don't let Russ cook, let Justin cook.
I agree. Speaking of Russ, help me with this psychologically, because you're a pastor. How come I'm enjoying seeing Russell Wilson suck so much? Ostensibly,
because
he's
Russell
a believer.
Because Russell Wilson exudes one of the most unlikable vibes in the NFL. And this isn't terribly pastoral, but like, here's pastoral. Pride goes before a fall. And
yeah.
We'll just, you know, there you go, Russ.
Anytime anyone who's like super high on themselves and it's obvious, like whenever that guy struggles in my flesh, I can't help but kind of be delighted. And that's where I'm at with Russell Wilson.
Here's the thing. It's not just that he's high on himself. Like, I think you and I both kind of like arrogance in sports, you know,
from certain types of guys though, you know?
Right. But Russ is like faux humble.
Yeah.
He's the rise and grind guy, not the like, I'm going to beat the world to a pulp guy. Like, that guy, I kind of dig.
I dig that guy, too.
You know? If you lose, you lose. But, like, I kind of like the guy who's just in your face, whereas Russ is, you know, it's all about the team and all this. And you're like, no, it's not. Everything you do is utterly performative and you're absurd.
I wish the Raiders were better. I was excited about the Raiders thing.
I could see them turning around. One thing about the Raiders that is really fun is that they figured out that Josh Jacobs is good.
Yeah.
If you include him in the passing game and don't just run him, you know, behind the guards every single play.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I think they're going to figure it out. They're going to be a great, like, stretch run team. And look, I mean, if the Chargers and Broncos continue to underwhelm... Like, the Raiders put some wins together. They're right back in it. I think the Ravens are good. I enjoy the Ravens. I enjoy watching them do what they do and figuring stuff out. Harbaugh's another great figure-it-out coach. And their defense is a little less menacing this year with Wink Martindale having moved on. But... I still like the Ravens. I think they're good.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will probably, barring further injuries, I think they'll get better as the season goes along because that's what they just what kind of, they, like you said, they're a figure it out team, and Lamar can do anything. Like, I know he's not Jalen Hurts, where he's primarily running. Running is one of his weapons, but he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah. AFC South. This is a weird one. As much as we enjoy hating on the Titans on this program, they are also a great figure-it-out team, and they manage to do it, and they never panic, and somehow they end up being 3-2 after looking, like, abysmal to start the season.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap to Vrabes and the Titans. They do a good job.
You know, I had a friend who I said they were going to stink this year, and he just shook his head, and he goes, nah, man, Vrabel's got a floor. Mm-hmm. He's too good of a coach for them to stink. And I didn't agree with him. And I wish I remembered which friend it was. If you're listening, you know who you are and you were right. And he is a better coach than I thought. And I don't understand how they're even remotely competitive, but here we are.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Colts are a disaster. Like, you look at the Colts record, if you were just to glance at it, you go, oh, that's a middling, mediocre team. They're actually a disaster. Like, watching a Colts game is painful.
How is it so? Like, they don't have a bad offensive line, although they're playing terrible this year.
They are.
They have decent weapons. Jonathan Taylor's really good. Matt Ryan, unless he's just washed, but I don't think he's washed. He's certainly not more washed than Philip Rivers was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And yet they managed to get worse in every category, like just across the board offensively.
Yeah, no, it's a disaster. I mean, and I feel bad because I like the Colts. Like growing up in Indiana, I like the Colts. I want to see them do well. I wanted to see Matt Ryan do well. I wanted their like never ending game of like quarterback roulette to finally work out. And it just isn't. And that's a bummer. There's a lot more quarterbacking talent in the AFC just as I scroll through these teams. You know, I think if you're the Jets, you're still hopeful. Obviously, the Bills are great. Dolphins are a wait and see. The Pats are a wait and see vis-a-vis quarterback. AFC West wise, they all have on paper good quarterbacks besides the Broncos. I think Bronco fans are coming to grips with how bad that trade was. That's going to be a hard one to overcome for the next few years. The Browns ostensibly have their quarterback, though we won't see him for a long time. The Steelers.
I have a question about the Browns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they obviously have Watson waiting in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
How many seasons before we can talk about Watson as a quarterback sort of guilt-free?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And I don't mean this tongue-in-cheek. Like,
yeah.
This is one of those ones that, like, I genuinely feel gross about.
Yeah.
Because all the accusations against him are so bad. Like there are other jerks in the league and we talk about them all the time, just as football players, but this feels different to me. So like how long until it's sort of like, this is just football or is this sort of a, like, he's just going to be sort of a, he who shall not be named henceforth and forever.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the national media handles that. To me, he kind of falls into the category of someone who really intrudes on like your process of enjoying the game, right? So a big part of being a fan is being able to talk about your team's quarterback, either affirmatively or otherwise, right? But
you want to hate him for the right, like, I dislike Kirk Cousins for football reasons or personality reasons, not wrongdoing reasons. There's no guilt there.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're a Browns fan, you're really in this catch-22 of like, you're not allowed to publicly be hopeful about Deshaun Watson, and everything is public now, right? So like, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you have a Twitter or you have some other social media platform where the bulk of your conversation takes place, and you're not allowed to be hopeful. So that takes like a huge percentage of the fun out of it. And yeah, I mean, he's really a sad figure in that way, you know what I mean? And even stuff like jersey sales and all the stuff that typically comes with the mantle of franchise quarterback. Again, there's kind of no precedent for this. There's kind of no precedent for, we have a guy with an egregious track record in the public eye and we're doubling down on him and we're asking the fan base to get behind him and treat him like a number one franchise quarterback in spite of all that he's done. I mean, the only sort of analog I can think of to this is Michael Vick after he did time for the dogfighting. But that honestly seems like apples and oranges. And also, he was on the back nine of his career. And
it seems totally apples and oranges because, I mean, it was dogs, which is really different than people.
Yeah.
And he paid the price. And he paid the price as an example. Like, they made an example out of him.
They did.
So there was so much going on there that you're like, he almost faced injustice for his crimes in some ways. Whereas, like, it feels like Watson hasn't yet faced justice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other, I mean, it would be like, I don't know, like hiring OJ Simpson as your PR man for your team or something. You're like, this is gross.
Yeah, no, it does. It just feels gross. And I honestly think about it every time I see Cleveland on TV, and I feel bad for the fan base.
Yes, I feel terrible. I have friends who are Browns fans, and I'm just like, I don't.
Well,
you can't root for him, but how long can you just sort of be mad and hate?
Yeah, and there's no obvious way forward, right? There's no obvious, well, we just wait till, you know, such and such happens and then we'll be good. You know, it's gonna kind of hang around, and you hate it for all parties involved. All right, Pipe, I got to go in like 3 minutes, but I want to hear what you're reading sportsbook-wise.
I just finished reading Education of a Coach by David Halberstam about Belichick's kind of rise. But yeah. I am a total sucker for origin stories.
Yep.
And that's what this was. Like, it's, yeah, you know, it's dated. I think it dates back to like after their first three titles out of the 77 that Belichick has won.
Yeah.
But the story of his dad, mm-hmm, and the growing up as immigrants.
Yeah.
And so forth. All of that stuff was phenomenal. And of course, Halberstam, when he's throwing his fastball,
yeah,
has always been one of the best sports writers. So I finished that one not too long ago, loved it, thought it was brilliant. And even if you dislike Belichick, I there was just whole segments of his career that I didn't know anything about. So like the 1970s and then kind of his relationship with Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
And then realizing he coached with Bill Parcells three different places. I didn't know that, mm-hmm, either. So, mm-hmm, it was, yeah, really, really, really good. And then I'm very slowly making my way through one called The Baseball 100 by Joe Posnanski.
Yeah, nice.
Posnanski, when he's writing on baseball, he might be my favorite baseball writer. Just absolutely phenomenal. And it's his ranking of the 100 greatest baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
And then each player gets somewhere between like 3 and 7 pages.
Yeah.
And it's sort of anecdotes and legends and statistics. He comes at each player really differently based on how he wants to tell their story. And it's a really fun one, and one that you can like read about a player and then fall asleep at night and just sort of poke your way through.
Yeah.
So it even has the pacing of a baseball game where you're like, periodically something very exciting happens, but then there's just sort of this beautiful sort of rhythm and chill and kind of ambiance to the thing.
Dude, that's such a good time. And Halberstam, I agree 100%. He has one of the best sports book fastballs of anybody doing it. And he kind of catches that real literary writer,
mm-hmm,
meets sports guy, kind of lightning in a bottle. Like Jeff Perlman's books are really fun. They're really well researched, but they're not amazing. You know, the writing isn't memorable. His kind of whole deal is he just interviews like, you know, 4,000 people for every book. And the result is a good book. Like, I'm reading his Laker Dynasty book right now. And it's a really fun read. A lot of interesting stories. I feel like Jeff Perlman is a, you always learn a couple of new things guy. You know, like, oh, I didn't know that. Or I didn't know there was, you know, Spencer Haywood had like that kind of a cocaine problem. And I didn't know that like 80% of the league was, you know, doing coke in the late 70s, early 80s. Like, so he brings clarity to a lot of things, but it's not just like riveting writing, and you're always getting like a whiff of his politics every couple pages. He can't help himself. He's kind of like a dog on a chain. But
he's kind of investigative journalist in terms of what he leans into, right?
Yeah, he is, but he leans into fun things. That's the thing. Like, his instincts on what to write about, and maybe this is just for me, right? Like, maybe essentially he's writing books that I think are interesting. He's almost never wrong. Like, he wrote one on Walter Payton, which of course that was catnip for me. He did one on the USFL, same thing. He did one on like the 90s Cowboys that was a really fun read. Like, he just picks these kind of iconic stories for which there's a little bit more meat left on the bone. You know what I mean? He's a masterful, like, find the angle guy. And he's really good at that. He's really good at drawing out stories. So I enjoy his books in spite of the like politics every couple pages, because he can't help himself. But anyway, good to have another good sports book kind of on the nightstand to be engaged by. Pipe, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some NFL stuff. I hope the league gets better. I hope the product gets better. But this product, I don't know if it's good or bad, but we keep doing it, and I enjoy doing it. Hopefully you guys enjoy listening, and until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. Be sure to visit thehappyrant.com to check out our merchandise, learn more about upcoming live events, and listen to past episodes.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.